We try to share with them God's perspective on these things. Well, take your Bibles to James. These are not unfamiliar verses to unite, but if you're like me, they still throw you when you read those verses. James chapter 1, verse 3, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. And that joy thing, always, I think you have struggles with that, Donnie, too. Consider it all joy when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance or patience. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when, and here's my verse. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. The Spirit of God often gets me at that time. When he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. So tonight we want to once again keep on keeping on. We want you to still be able to look at your trials from a different perspective than the world does. And there are times when my trials get the best of me. There are times when, you know, I know better even. And yet it seems like they get the victory, and I'm mad and I'm upset, and you know, and my favorite phrase, you know, when things don't go as fast as I, today. Let's let it happen now. But tonight I'd like to challenge us just to think about looking at my problems differently. As believers, we're often defeated by faulty thinking. Trials, we would say, prove God is punishing me. And yet we should realize that is not what the Bible says when it comes to our trials. I must be repaid for something I've done wrong in my past. And you'd be surprised how much soul searching we can do at times through our past to say, Lord, a person I knew was involved with their husband sexually before they got married. And, you know, these were two people that went to church and everything else. And then she started to have the, you know, and she was telling me this. You know when she told me this? Not when she, you know, it happened. When she was starting to have struggles with her husband and they were starting to go through divorce, she had to tell me that. You know, it's almost like she had, maybe that's why I'm having trouble. And we need to at times remember, there is something wonderful to remember about being a believer. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God has dealt with my sins in a way that he's not saying, well, Brian, let me hammer you for what you did back there. You know, I believe very much that my sins were put upon Jesus Christ at the cross. They were paid for. Now he certainly allows things in my life. There are still difficulties I have. That same verse, that same word for temptation is found over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13. You know this one. There has no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. Which basically means what? The troubles you have, somebody else is having them. You're not the only one. But it also goes on to say, but along with that temptation, God will provide a way of escape that you so that you may be able to bear up underneath it. And there's times where our trials get the best of us, and we start to disbelieve. And it says there once again, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. And I say, well, how can I do that? Well, once again, I have someone I'm supposed to be looking at as an example in my life, because my Lord was able to do this. If you look at back one book, or Hebrews chapter 12, just back one page pretty well. 12:1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And once again, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as son. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Now, his punishment is a little different than, you know, saying, well, I'm bonking you on the head for what you did back when you were 16 years old. I think his aspect is he's bringing these things in life. I want to say the word I like is the word perfect. God wants to perfect you. He wants us to move toward maturity. I always like what one of my favorite verses in Hebrews chapter 5 is, we have much more to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you're slow to learn. You know, I can say, yeah, I can understand that. Though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature. Let's grow up. Let's grow up in our faith and our confidence in the Lord. But solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. So once again, this aspect of trials in my life, I want to be able to trust God. Some of the words you need to look at in that verse is, first of all, various trials. Count it all joy when you face various trials, or King James says diverse temptations. When all kinds of trials and temptations, the Phillips translation says it this way. When all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your lives, my brothers, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. And there's times where what are you talking about? The first question we often ask, how can a person be joyful in the midst of trials? And I believe the answer to that is when we know that our trials have a purpose in God's plan. First Peter, very familiar verses. First Peter chapter 1. Some wonderful things. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. In these things you greatly rejoice. Inheritance. New birth. Shield. All those are good things to think about. In these things you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief through all kinds of trials. I like how the King James says it. If need be. If need be. And I always say, if need be, why me? You know, well, God says, Brian Cuddy, I want to perfect you. I want you to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And I want you to realize that if need be, you may have to suffer through all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold that perishes, even though it's refined by fire, may be proved genuine. So let's take that little middle section out of there. These have come so that your faith may be proved genuine. That's what the purpose of the trials are in our lives. These have come so that your faith may be proved genuine. I've written, finally got around to writing it in my Bible. So I can find the spot here. Nothing is more useless to God than untested faith. You think about that. It's one thing for me to say, Lord, I love you, I believe in you. It's easy to say up front here sometimes. But when you're going through it during the week, when all of a sudden the bottom seems to fall out, then am I trusting? Am I trusting in this one who says, I can cast my cares upon you because you care for me? And that's where I want to try to become the person who says, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you. And I'm trying to figure out how I'm trying to catch myself instead of losing it. Okay? Once again, we can certainly get frustrated when things don't go our way. Now, that's just a guy thing. I'm sure, ladies, you don't have that problem in life. Okay? But guys are the ones who throw tools and everything else and frustrating things for me. I can put a socket right down there and I can turn around and it's gone. And you look all over the place for it. Where is it? And you can get all kinds of frustrated and everything else. So, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Somehow, I've got to catch myself instead of me throwing the biggest hissy fit in the world and come on, someplace and say, hey, Lord, what are you working on in my life? I don't know if I'm... Only she will know. Only she will know if I get there or not. But the challenge is, can I come to the place instead of acting like that God is hating me, coming more to the place of God is perfecting me, and God even has a purpose for these difficulties that have come to my life. And there's times where I don't understand. There's people with all kinds of problems out in this world. Terry gets called every day at Helps Incorporated. Hey, we're out of money and everything else. And there's times where the bills are piling up and we wonder, Lord, what am I going to do? And we do get frustrated when things like that happen. But I pray that we as believers might somehow enter into that relationship, that closeness to Christ, so that when things do happen, we're able to say, Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours. You got to love the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, when he is able to say, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. And I wonder, what are you doing that I'm not doing, Paul? You're sitting in prison. You're not being able to, quote, quote, do what you could do if you're out. And yet Paul is the first one to say, now, brothers, I want to remind you that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Because of my chains, most of the brothers have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. So somehow Paul is able to see even his difficulties as having a spiritual benefit. Sometimes we will not know until heaven all what God has been trying to do in your life through the trials. And I think there's no other reason. You like to think God's going to tell us. The only problem is when you get at the end of the book of Job, God didn't say, hey, guess what, Job? This is what I did. Why? It doesn't seem like he gets an explanation either. So I'm hoping that in heaven God will say, hey, this is how this affected your life. This is how it molded you for these things. Well, a couple of the verses tonight. The believer is not exempt from problems. You probably know that by now, okay? The believer is not exempt from problems. There are some things that believers no longer has to worry about. And I'm thinking one of the things is, Romans chapter 8 says, you no longer need to be a slave to fear, okay? There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So there are some things that have been taken off my list. I don't have to worry about condemnation anymore. That's covered underneath the blood of Christ. Now, once again, I have to remind myself of that at times, because Satan can play with me sometimes too. But I think we need to realize the believer is not exempt from problems. Once again, I just remember Christian coming up to me one time, Pastor Johnny, you got it made! He says, you're all set! You're all set! And I turned around and told him, Christian, Satan has my number just as much as he has everybody else's number. And I think sometimes we get the idea. Once I accept Christ as my Savior, it's going to be a bed of roses. And boy, if you start thinking that, you are in for a ride. Because the Lord will say, as I said before, John chapter 16, they will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, anyone who kills you will think he's offering a service to God. You know? If the world hates you, keep in mind they hated me first, Jesus says. If you belong to the world would love you as its own. As it is, you don't belong to the world. That's why the world hates you. You know? So there's going to be the trials of because we're a believer. But I think there's just going to sometimes be the trials of life. There's going to be the things that invade our family, the health issues, the money issues, and sometimes relationship issues. And there's times where we throw up our hands and we wonder, why, Lord, why? And I'm grateful. Oh, the believer has a different perspective about his problems. We are supposed to have a different perspective. We're supposed to somehow, as these things come in our life, we're supposed to say, okay, Lord, you have a purpose for all this. You are shaping me. Romans chapter 8, once again, a verse that we often use, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. I don't understand always the good, but God says He's working it for good. He also says, those whom also God predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. That's what the purpose of this whole thing is. He's trying to conform me and you more and more to the image of Christ. I like how Paul says it to the Philippian believers. He says, it's right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have you in my heart. For the first day and from now, you've all participated with me in the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. I believe in eternal security. I believe once a person's saved, they're saved. Okay? Once again, the Baptist back door to this, if they're not living for God, then they were never saved in the first place. And we can play that game sometimes. Okay? But the person who is in Christ is in Christ. And I believe He's also going to persevere. He's going to continue on. He's going to keep on living for the Lord. It is not all His own efforts that deal with this. It's the Spirit of God helping me to persevere. And I'm grateful because even Jesus says in those days, in the last days when people stand before the judge, don't worry what you're going to say because I'm going to give you the words to say. And so I see the importance of seeing us persevere. A couple verses tonight with this. Oh, this joy thing. The apostles had joy. The apostles, this is found in Acts 5. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing. because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name of Christ. They're joyful for the whole thing. 2 Corinthians 12. This is the passage that we often wonder about. Good old Paul. Paul's given a vision of heaven like none of us have ever had before. And it says there in 2 Corinthians 12, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Sounds like a Brian Cuddy there. Yeah? Why, Lord? And once again, Dan has been through a lot this year, and I've listened to the phone a lot, and I said, Dan, I don't call God the names you're calling him. And sometimes when we're going through the times of struggle and everything else, we can lash out. And I'm sure, probably Paul, Lord, take this away from me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. What's another way of saying that? Paul, I know what I'm doing. Paul, I know what I'm doing. Paul, I have a reason for this. You don't see it, but I have a reason for it. And so I'm just praying that something happens this week that I might be able. God has a reason for this. I'll try to be honest whether I got an A on that or not this week, because usually I don't get A's on those kind of things. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's the secret that Paul has. I've learned the secret of being content in any of every situation because I've learned to sort of just rest in the fact that I can't do anything about it. And God is at work. I think sometimes we have seen when we have come to the end of our rope where we don't have anywhere to turn to see God intervene then. And so he says, that is why Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulties. When I am weak, then I am strong. Oh, Paul says in another place, 2 Corinthians, for our light and momentary troubles, that's almost humorous. For our light and momentary troubles. That's usually not how we think about the problems go on during our week. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Okay. Paul has a different perspective on his problems. And he's starting to see, hey, God, you have a reason for this. And I need to learn to trust you with the trials in my life. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Jesus' disciples learned not to fear as they spent time with Jesus. When you're with Jesus in the boat and you're shaking your shoes off because of the storm, and all of a sudden, when you find that your Lord is able to say, peace, be still, and you see the difference, you set up and take notice. And then you remember probably the next time when you are in the storms yourself, who you need to be calling to. Yeah. And you're grateful for a Peter who's in jail and he's sleeping between the guys and the angel has to wake him up. and God is there for him. Help us to learn to trust God in the midst of trials. And once again, that's very easy to preach. It is what God wants us to do, though. And I'd love to be able to say, I've got it down pat. I've learned the secret of being content in every situation. But I know that the littlest things at times can set Brian Cuddy off. You know? And they're stupid little things. So somehow, I need to... I got another example. I got an example of my Lord Himself. It says, when they hurled insults at Him, He did not retaliate. When He suffered, He made no threats. He's my example in how I'm supposed to handle the trials of life. But He entrusted Himself to Him who judges justly. Am I going to be able to say, Lord, I don't understand why, but keep working on me? We're not to be consumed by our trials. Paul has a reason for them. God has a reason for them. An Old Testament passage. We might as well start off real early in their lives. Back in Deuteronomy, he says this, Deuteronomy 8, be careful to follow in every command I've given you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you, to test you in order to know what was in your heart. Whether or not you would keep His commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out. Your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. God, even with the journey through the desert, allowed the trials in their life to see if they were willing to keep on trusting God. May I challenge you, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, don't throw away your confidence. Even when you're going through the trials, it will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere. And I pray that the perseverance will be more for the glory of God than you throw on a hissy fit. Okay? You need to persevere so that when you've done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. For in just a very little while, He who is coming will come and will not delay. My righteous ones will live by faith. And part of that faith is what? Trusting that God knows what He's doing, even with the trials in your life. Lord, we have a long ways to go. But we're not even sure what You have on our compass this week. But we pray that we might be a little bit more still in Your presence. That we might respond a little slower with our wrath and with our anger. And that instead we might realize that we have a loving God who's working to conform us more and more to the image of Christ. So one day, we will be able to participate in Your glory. And we ask for Your continuing work on this behalf because we are weak at times. In Christ's name, amen.